This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. COVID-19 changed the shape of the Association of Village Council Presidents' annual convention held last week. For one thing, there were no resolutions this year because none were forwarded by tribes for the virtual convention. KYUK's Johanna Urich reports.
Normally, delegates at the Association of Village Council Presidents' annual convention meet in person and develop resolutions to forward to the Alaska Federation of Natives. To keep members safe in the midst of the pandemic, this year the group met virtually. It had a hard time getting a quorum, and the board received no resolutions. There was some good news at the convention. A recording of the meeting shows that OBD, the firm performing AVCP's audits, announced that years of work improving bookkeeping processes had turned the organization around. In the past, the auditors said they found many problems, but this year's review of the $71.6 million budget showed, quote, significant improvement with only one problem area. The auditors assured delegates that's being addressed. The pandemic has also reduced expenses. Jack Crow, Chief Administrative Officer on AVC's management team, said that with travel all but eliminated, he expects to save about $3 million in travel costs by the end of this fiscal year. In all, AVCP is about $9 million behind in budgeted spending. Normally, that unspent money would have to go back to the federal treasury, but because of the pandemic, Congress changed the rules, allowing organizations like AVCP to move unspent funds into the next fiscal year. Most of AVCP's money is from the federal government, about $43 million last year. Much of this comes through tribal compacting, where individual tribes agree to let AVCP handle their federal allocations and use some of it to provide various services. Some is also forwarded to tribes in a tribal allocation. During the meeting, concerns were raised by a representative of Ngunnawal, who asked for more transparency on how the allocations for different tribes are created. The recording shows no sign that this issue was addressed at the AVCP convention. For KYUK, I'm Johanna Urich.
Ute Commuter Service is suing its former business manager for allegedly embezzling company funds to pay for personal expenses, pay raises, and bonuses.
Wade Renfro co-owns Ute Commuter Service, and he first spotted unusual spending on the company credit card in June of this year. That's according to attorney Myron Angsman, who is representing Ute in the lawsuit filed against former Ute business manager Nathan McCabe. McCabe also managed another Bethel business for Renfro, Riverside Apartments. Renfro confronted McCabe about the charges. McCabe was in Anchorage at the time. And by the end of the month, McCabe resigned from his position at business manager. The complaint, filed September 22nd, alleges that McCabe used company bank accounts and credit cards for personal expenses, like paying his rent and giving himself pay raises and bonuses and reimbursements, as well as inflating the compensation of another employee. The lawsuit includes two other people related to McCabe who allegedly benefited from his misuse of those funds, his wife, Christina Smith, and a relative of McCabe's, who worked at Riverside Apartments. Attorney Myron Angsman says it took him and his clients a while to gather the information needed to file the lawsuit, for example, going over credit card statements and bank account history. McCabe started working at Ute and Riverside in 2017 as assistant business manager and was promoted to business manager in 2019. The lawsuit is seeking $100,000 in damages, but Angsman says the amount McCabe embezzled could exceed that amount. So far, no criminal charges have been filed against McCabe. For KYUK News, I'm Christy Schallenberger.
And moving on to fish news, organizations representing Yukon River communities are drafting a letter to Governor Mike Dunleavy seeking a fishery disaster declaration for this summer's salmon season. Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association Executive Director Serena Fitka says it's been an especially tough year with high water impeding fishing for much of the summer and runs coming in weak, particularly the fall chums many were counting on to save the season.
The numbers are so low. After the mixed stock analysis at the pilot station sonar, the numbers are below 200,000. So that's a record low number of returned fall chum.
Fitka says disaster status would bring funding that could be used for a variety of purposes.
There's a lot of suggestions out there. We've heard, it should go to the people, but does that really help figure out what's going on and why the fish aren't returning? And I think that's the main question that is being asked on the river.
Fitka emphasizes that a fishery disaster declaration will not provide quick relief, as the process can take 1 to 2 years before funding becomes available. She says the Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association will hold a series of off-season teleconferences to discuss fishery issues with village residents, beginning with a session on the disaster declaration October 20th. And in more fish news, mushers on the Yukon River are struggling to feed their dogs because of weak king and chum salmon runs this year.
Gee, I wonder if I counted myself, maybe 9. I think 9. After this is all over, I know it won't be 9.
Pat Moore is one of 9 mushers who lives in the Yukon River village of Tanana. He has about 20 dogs in his yard and was trying to sell most of them when the coronavirus pandemic shut interstate travel down in March.
I've got no market in the lower 48, and nobody in Alaska wants to take a chance on them because they don't know when the next race is going to be.
It takes about 4,000 salmon to feed all the dogs in Moore's dog yard. He mixes it up a little with dry food and red meat, but mostly salmon fills his dogs' bellies. But the weak king and chum salmon runs this year compelled the State Department of Fish and Game to halt subsistence fishing entirely in some parts of the Yukon River, leaving many mushers, like Moore, without their main source of dog food. Another one of those mushers is Gerald Alexander in Fort Yukon. He says he is feeding his dogs mostly dry food, which is expensive to ship to Alaska bush communities off the road system.
And it costs so much here for a bag of Friskies, 50 a pound, it's 33 pounds for almost $60 a bag.
Friskies is a brand of dry dog food. Alexander, who is also on the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission, reached out to its director for help. That director, Stephanie Quinn-Davidson, says Yukon River communities rely on 2 types of salmon for their food, the kings and the chums. Those communities have turned more to chum salmon over the years as king salmon runs have dwindled. But
now the fall chum didn't come in at all, and there's been no fishing.
Davidson says these are the lowest harvest numbers in a long time.
We have a situation where subsistence harvests are probably the lowest they've been in 2 decades.
Davidson pleaded for help for the mushers through Twitter earlier this month.
So I've been really surprised at the response that we've gotten. Now I've had professional Iditarod mushers reach out to me and say, we want to help you. You know, we'll put you in touch with the dog food companies that we use.
But so far, only one dog food company is actively figuring out how to ship dog food to Yukon River mushers. Davidson is hoping for more. Back in Tanana, musher Pat Moore says the dog food shortage could kill mushing altogether in that community.
A lot of us are kind of long in the tooth. This is going to be the final nail in the coffin, I think.
Moore says he has enough food to make it through December, 3 months away. But soon, he and other mushers will have to make tough choices about the future of their dogs. For KYUK News, I'm Christy Schallenberger. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukton coming up.